Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Pam York. Pam is the co-founder and general partner at Capita 3, which is a VC fund that is focused on helping female founder-led organizations. She has a background as an executive, has successfully co-founded two companies that had over 40x ROI, and she has helped many organizations get through the startup phase as well as moving into IPOs and also acquisitions. She did a TED Talk back in 2018, which is entitled Female Founders Use Fear as Your Guide. We're going to be talking about this personal story that she had and lessons she learned through that. And looking forward to today's conversation with Pam. Can you give us just a little bit of your background and a little bit of your story?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Mark. Well, you know, like many people, you get vectored into careers based on what you're good at. And I was really good at math and science when I was younger. And so I got vectored into engineering and I wound up getting a PhD in electrical engineering. And I'm really grateful for that experience. But over time, you know, I discovered that business was my kind of my true love. And fortunately, I was part of an organization that we spun out 21 companies, 21 startups. In about a 7-year time frame. And I got the startup bug in that environment and wound up being a founder in two of those startups. And then over time, just knew that I really wanted to become an investor. And so, you know, over some thinking and some strategy and how do I want to do that, put together a venture capital fund, which is what I'm doing now, investing in early stage startup companies.
Great. And what's the name of your fund?
So our name is Capita 3. And we're headquartered in the Twin Cities, but we do invest all over the country. And we invest in women CEOs who are innovating in healthcare technologies.
Great. Well, one of the questions I love to ask, ask our guests and ask at most every interview that we do is if you were able to spin back time and talk to a 22-year-old Pam, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give her?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I for sure would tell her, you know, form your own personal board of advisors and get a mentor or coach. And really, you know, people who are dedicated to you and to helping you in your career. I just didn't know to do that when I was that age. And I would tell myself that now if I could.
Great. Is there any advice that you received around that age that you would, looking back on it, you should have ignored?
I think that we often get, as I said earlier, vectored into things that we're good at, and we don't really think so much about what do I love to do? What's my passion? And you find people sort of thinking about that as they get later in life after they've had years of experience doing something that maybe was beneficial, you know, but not necessarily what they love to do. So I would really, really wish that, you know, I had someone nurturing what are you passionate about? What do you love to do?
So I saw your TED Talk that you gave some time ago, and you had an interesting topic for that that talk, and the title kind of caught my eye as Female Founders Using Fear as Your Guide. And can you talk a little bit about just the story behind how you got interested in that topic, and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking about that. I've been involved in sports my entire life, and I started mountain biking at some point, and I was mountain biking in the Promised Land State Park in northeastern Pennsylvania, and was thrown from my bike going over 30 miles per hour and landed on my head. And fortunately, I recovered from that, but it put me into a state of really just constant, persistent fear and anxiety, which I could not escape. And, you know, as a professional, we're taught to pretty much navigate the work environment without showing fear, you know, without showing weakness. And so it was this conundrum of I'm feeling these things, but it's not appropriate in the work environment to reveal these things. And so in time, what I really realized was that fear is this incredible teacher. If we actually can be willing to be with it and listen to what it has to say. And that's where we kind of coined the term using fear as a guide for growth, because if you can be with it, it gives you incredibly valuable information for exactly how you need to grow. And so really that all of what I'm doing now is kind of born out of, you know, that experience of having this tremendous fear come into my life and not be able to get away from it. And so I had to actually figure out how to be with it and use it.
You work with women founders and helping them raise money for their ventures. Talk a little bit about mm-hmm. just the landscape for, you know, we have a lot of people that are kind of earlier in their career, or maybe they're first-time CEOs, they may be founders. But talk a little bit about mm-hmm. Just some of your experience working with some of the female founders and what they experience and the obstacles that they experience.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I really never expected to be working with female founders. It wasn't something I thought about or planned for. You know, earlier in my career, it was really all about fitting in and being just kind of one of the crowd. So that was kind of a revelation that came to me after I had the head injury. And the reason that's become so important to me is because if you look at the venture capital environment, I mean, there's billions and billions and billions, over 100 billion invested annually in venture capital. And about 1-2% of that, you know, is invested in women CEOs. And that really doesn't match the number of really high quality startups out there that are led by women. So it's when, you know, I and my partner started to realize there's this tremendous opportunity to invest in women-led startups because they're untapped, but also this need to really help women navigate these environments, especially venture capital or tech or STEM, where they might not, you know, naturally or immediately be seen for who they are. So that's what we're doing now. And we continue to see it as a huge opportunity and something that we are deeply passionate about.
So you've been involved in not only investing, but also in leading a startup yourself. What do you wish you would have known before taking the helm of a company that you wish you would have known earlier?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things, you know, I was a co-founder in two high-tech venture capital-backed startups, and it's an experience of learning everything on the fly, every single thing. And so for anyone who's done that, you know, that's what it's like. But I think the most important thing that I wish I had known was how much, you know, kind of what's on the inside of a person is reflected to the outside. And if anything that's on the inside is interfering with your success, then it's really important to deal with that. I think most people think, you know, we can hide our weaknesses or we can hide our fears or we can, you know, but typically, even if people don't exactly know what's going on with you, they can feel if you're lacking confidence or what have you. So I think that is what I've discovered to be the most game-changing approach that I've seen.
Now you've developed, and I know out of your TED talk, you developed a way to help founders get more confidence and helping them as far as to develop that, you know, presence and working through that fear. Can you talk a little bit about that, kind of what you've done and just some of the results you've seen as a part of that process?
Yeah, we designed a very rapid method for helping women and really anybody, but we focus on women founders and entrepreneurs and innovators make a huge leap in their growth in a pretty short period of time. It's a 21-day program with just a few sessions over 21 days and exercises where really what we do is facilitate and guide women through this process of seeing what we call internal barriers. It could be fear, it could be limiting beliefs, it could be prior failures, anything that could potentially interfere with the results that we want to, that they want to produce. And we organize it around an important milestone, like raising financing, which is obviously highly motivating for an entrepreneur. And so we've done 17 cohorts to date with about 150 women and a few men. We've started to add men to our cohorts. And half of those have been inside of Mayo Clinic, and half of those have been with independent entrepreneurs and innovators. And we see, you know, tremendous results in increase in confidence, and most importantly, increase in their ability to produce the milestones that they want to produce, which is really, in the end, leadership development is great, but if you don't actually, if it doesn't lead to better results, most people are not going to participate in it. Yep.
So what are some of the common mistakes that you see from founders as far as in raising funds, putting together, you know, a pitch for somebody like yourself that's running, operating a fund in the VC world? If you were to give somebody some coaching tips, what would you tell them?
Well, first and foremost, confidence is the number one factor in raising financing. If you're really confident, then you're much more clear, you're much more compelling. And that is a huge component of being able to raise financing. So that's number one. The thing that I often see startups not doing is really understanding the life cycle of their company. You know, how much capital they need to raise to get to successive milestones and ultimately to an exit, and really understanding those milestones. And so that's a lot of the work that we do, is helping people understand, you know, that process of growing the company and getting to exit.
So I think a lot of people that become new CEOs, they don't understand as far as the relationship with the board and people that they're, you know, the investors and those that definitely have a vested interest as far as in the company succeeding. Talk a little bit about just some of your experiences personally and what you're seeing as far as of some either missteps or things that you think are important for somebody to know as a new leader working with the board.
I think there's this thinking in early stage startups, especially ones that are just launching or what we call pre-seed. So they haven't raised any money yet, or they're about to raise their first round of financing. I think a lot of these companies think, you know, boards are kind of a nice to have as opposed to must have, as well as advisors. And they don't really think about how important those things are. And so that's one of the missteps that we see. And we usually work with companies to get a board together right away. And it has to be the right people. If they can't add value, it's just detracting from the company. But, you know, when we're investing in companies that have almost no operating history. So if they're not surrounded by, so first of all, it's hard to evaluate who's going to be successful, because there's almost nothing to evaluate other than the person. But if they're going to be successful, they've got to have smart people around them. It's never a person, you know, building a company to exit. So that's what we help people do as well.
You talked about getting smart people around you. And one of the challenges of getting that right team in place, especially in those early years, and in making sure that you have the people with the right mindset as well as the skill set that they need. Talk a little bit about that, just some things that you've learned as you've put together executive teams and teams that kind of help get the company to where it needs to be.
Yeah, I wish there were a concise answer to that. I think my best advice to startups is that almost every aspect of building a startup company, from hiring your first team member to forming a board to your business plan to financing, it's all a brand new skill set that almost no one has unless you're a serial entrepreneur. So even things like bringing on advisors and you know, mentors, it's a process that you have to gain an understanding for. And I just this morning I was on a conference call where someone said there's a lot of mentoring going on, but not necessarily good advice. So a lot of people who want to be mentors to startups, but the key is really understand what specifically do I need right now and what kind of person can provide that, and what evidence is there that the people I've found actually can deliver on that. And then interviewing and having people help you select those people, and make it time bound. Don't make it an infinite relationship. Make it 6 months so you can test it out. If it doesn't work, it's an easy way to get out of it.
Yeah, good advice. So I think every leader has to continue to stay relevant and up to date and read. Any books that you would recommend to a new leader?
Well, for sure, in the startup realm, I would absolutely recommend that they read a book called Startup Boards by Brad Feld. He's one of the founders of Techstars. And also, I think another one of his books is Venture Capital Financing for Startups or something like that. Those two books are just absolutely filled with very practical advice and examples. So I think those are fantastic books. And then also, if you're anyone who's regularly giving presentations, I would have them read the book that was put out by TED Talks. It's a great book for helping people understand how to communicate concisely and powerfully in front of groups.
I have to ask this question because I've talked to others that have done TED Talks. Talk about that experience and what you learned. And I watched a little over 10 minutes long to get everything into that short amount of period of time. But just talk a little bit about that experience.
Well, I'm sure you've heard people say this, but it is one of the most important things I've done in my life and one of the hardest. I had, by that time, that was in 2018, I had given hundreds of presentations, literally. And I just didn't realize how hard it would be to, you know, say something really meaningful. I mean, you have to tell your life story. You have to have a compelling message. And to do it in 10 minutes. So I received a lot of help from a lot of people, and it was very last minute before it all came together. And I was terrified, actually. It was so hilarious. I couldn't laugh at the time, but now I can laugh that I was terrified to give a talk on fear. Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, at least it was, it made it more real, but a lot of times people don't see what's going on behind the scenes. People look composed and that, but I'm sure everybody that gives one of those is has some butterflies. So, so outside of work, Pam, what do you do to recharge?
I absolutely love hiking. I love to be out in nature hiking, and actually have started mountain biking again, even though I had an injury from mountain biking. So those are two of my favorite things. And we live on a lake, so of course we're spending a lot of time on the water as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, in this part of the country, we're thrilled when the grass is green and you're able to get out on the water and it's not frozen, that's for sure. So what parting advice would you give a newer up-and-coming leader?
I would say to get really clear about the alignment between what you want personally and what any given role that you're considering provides. What we see over and over again in our leadership development work is that the women who are doing things that are most aligned, what they really are passionate about and qualified to do, are the ones who produce the greatest results. So I think that's really, really important. And then, as I said before, just really be cognizant of how do I need to grow as a leader in order to produce the results that I want or that are expected of me. And then map that out, just like you would any project. You know, projects have milestones and deliverables. So treat yourself as a project and map out your own, growth.
Great. Well, Pam, this has been a lot of fun. Definitely appreciate your thoughts and insights from your career as an executive and also as a person who invests in companies, and wish you continued success in everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.